wohl gesagt, oder Völler für gerne gesehen haben. Mit Grüße für den Völler, die wollten gesagt, oder? Bloß nur, wie es in der Gemeinde auch hat. Gesagt, oder?
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله عند فضل كرم الإحسان الله سبحانه وتعالى الله تعالى is allowing for us to sit in one of his houses and make some mudakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. At this very moment, while we are sitting here, there are so many vice dens that are open and inviting people to them. At this very moment, so many people are involved in so many other sins that is attracting the wrath of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, anger of Allah Ta'ala. It is only the grace, the bounty, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that He has protected us from those places, and He has brought us to such a place where we worship Allah Ta'ala and we remember Allah Ta'ala. And our heart goes out to those in the Ummah. Everyone is part of this Ummah, whether they are believers, whether they are disbelievers. Those who are believers, they have accepted the call of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they are the believers. And those that are disbelievers, they are still part of this Ummah. They are also the Ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they haven't accepted the invitation of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as yet. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that those that are non-Muslim, Allah Ta'ala make them Muslim. And those who are Muslim and have gone off Sirat-e-Mustaqim, Allah Ta'ala bring them on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. And those of us whom Allah Ta'ala is allowing us to tread this path of Sirat-e-Mustaqim, although sometimes we may be falling, we may be slipping, but Allah Ta'ala is allowing for us to be on this path. So we make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant us istiqamah.
Ameen.
And Allah Ta'ala keep us on this path with sincerity. Maulana mentioned with regards to photography and videography. It wasn't my intention to speak on this. However, for us to understand how this photography began in the world. How did it start? So, in the time of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, so obviously they were pious people after Nuh alayhi salam passed away. Now they were pious people in the world at that time. And when they began passing on, so people cried for them because they were benefiting from those pious people. So they cried for them. And slowly what happened, as the generations went on, now people started saying that, you know what, these pious people, we need to have some sort of remembrance of. We have to remember. So they started sketching. They started sketching those pious people. after the pious person passed away, a few people who had seen him, so they would make a sketch of him, or they would make a little figurine. And then they would keep this in a very respectful way. Keep it on, you know, like a shelf, keep it on top of a cupboard, and they would show a lot of respect to it. And whenever they thought of this pious person, now they would go, they would look at that picture, sometimes they would tear. And this continued like this for a while. Eventually, those people who were close to that pious person, the granny, the grandfather, they passed on. The parents passed on, and now the grandchildren are there in the house. Now to them, what are you going to do with this thing? Don't you see, in today's times, the grandparents may have bought some kitabs, some books, Islamic literature, and to them it was a prized possession. The son, to him it has some sentimental value. It's alright, we'll keep it. It's daddy's book, so we look after it. By the time the grandson comes, say, you know what, I got my magazines on guns and all that. I need some shelf space. This thing needs to go. So let me see now, is there some library that will take it, or some box that I can put it in, or some hole in which I can bury it. So this is what happened. Now the people said, what are we going to do with all these figurines? They said, well, our parents, grandparents, forefathers used to show some respect to it. So let us rather dedicate one room or something and put them all inside. And now when somebody was in a financial problem or some marital problem or family problem, sorry, let me just go there in that room, you know, all those pious people, rather just look at all those figures. We used to see our parents looking at it and crying. Let me also go there and cry a little bit. And slowly that became a form of worship. Right? And this is how shirk started. Shirk of worshipping idols. They started taking these things as idols and they started worshipping them. So this is how dangerous this sketches and keeping photographs and all these things, this is how dangerous it is, how it can affect a person's iman. Then sometime a person will say, but you know, we're not going to worship these things, but we want to capture the moment. We want to remember the holiday, or remember the honeymoon, or funnymoon, or whatever it is, you know, some remembrance. Like. So when it comes to this, we find in the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed the picture makers. Anybody who gets involved in picture making, Allah ta'ala has cursed. The reason for this is, you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq. He is the creator. Now, we find in the world, Gucci will make something, or Levi's will make something, or whatever, Diesel, or whoever. And then you get the pirates. You get the pirates from China, wherever. They will make the same thing and put the same ticket on it. I remember in the old days, you know, when they first came out with the Ray-Ban glasses. So, the only Ray-Ban you got was in a teardrop shape with ivory on the top. And now that Ray-Ban had to have R written in 7 places. Then you knew it's an original. If it's not an original, it won't have the R in 7 places. So now the people make the counter, you know, copies, right? And when they make these copies, the manufacturers of the original product, how upset they become. That now you have a whole department that is just in charge of confiscating all this counterfeit stuff. Pirate. Right? And they confiscate it, they will destroy it. They won't even give it to the poor. They will destroy it. Right? And they will charge the person. just because that person copied another human being's product. Now can you imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq, He is the creator. And we are going and copying Allah Ta'ala's product. This is why the person who is involved in this picture making, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will say to him, you took this picture, you made this picture, now put life in it. You thought you want to create like my creation, now put life into it. Obviously he's not going to be able to do that. So he will then be put into Jahannam. So the whole wa'id, the whole warning with regards to this picture making is not about what type of picture. In fact, if you look at Shaitan's technology, because this whole thing started with the devil, right? He influenced these people to make those figurines and those sketches and whatever. And then eventually he got them to worship him. So this devil, in the old days, a person had to draw something or he had to mold something. And that's never going to be 100% accurate. But in today's times, he's developed the camera. Now the camera is exact. What you look like, exact. And if it's videography, now you even got the movement. And if there's sound on the video, now you're even getting the sound. Now is he not going closer and closer to what Allah Ta'ala created? The cameras of today are more accurate to what Allah Ta'ala created. So how much more of a sin it is? How much more of a sin it is? So and Shaitan has made it more commonly and easily available. If you turn the clock back to ask the older people, cameras were not something common. When people out of jahalat, out of ignorance, they didn't really have the knowledge, right? They didn't know it was prohibited. So there's a wedding or something. So after the wedding is over, now they'll go to some garden. And now they hired the guy from the Photoshop, right? He comes with all his equipment, he must set it up. And if you didn't know, you may just think a gunshot went off. When he clicks that thing and every flash goes and everything, you think somebody pulled a trigger, but those days it was safe in the country. There were not too many gunshots. So, but anyway, it was like a mission to get one photo. And that to a black and white photo. And then this photo had to go to now get developed the photo. Then slowly they came out with cameras, and the camera had a film inside. So you could only take maybe 17 photographs, depending on the size of your camera, maybe 20, 25 photographs, and then the film is full. Right? So now you were very careful about which photo you took, because you got only 17 clicks or 20 clicks. Right? Now your whole holiday, you got 20 clicks to go, so you're careful, you're not just clicking away all the time. And then after you fill that film, now you got to send that thing in to the Kodak shop or whichever shop, and they will develop that thing and then give you your photos. And then what are you going to do with all those photos now? There's so many photos. Now you need albums. So eventually it becomes too much to handle. So some of them get burnt also and thrown away. And then Shaitan came out with an instant camera. So now you didn't have to go to the Kodak shop anymore. You put like a photocopy. You put a paper inside and you took the photograph and next thing it came out. There's your photo. So instant now you had a photo. So you no more have to send the film to go for developing and all that. But you still have the headache of buying an album and putting that thing into the album. And it was an expensive exercise now. Only the wealthy people could afford those cameras and afford to buy all those papers, you know, that you put into that camera. And then eventually Shaitan made the hell phone. the devil in the pocket that everybody has, which is supposed to be for making a phone call, but it is marketed on how good the camera is. The tool came about as something to make a phone call. The older people will remember the Motorola's and the Ericsson GH198 and the Nokia 2011. It was to make a phone call, receive a phone call and send a message. And then slowly one camera found its way into it. Now the phone is marketed with regards to what megapixel camera it got and how much memory it got. So now you can just click and click and click away and you don't have to worry. You don't like what you look like, delete, make another one, carry on. But each click is a sin. See how shaitan has made it so easy to sin. So we mustn't just get carried away with every new gimmick that comes about. We must check what is the situation in my deen. As we were saying before Maghrib, Allah Ta'ala is testing me at this moment. What I am doing now, is Allah Ta'ala happy with it? He's not happy with it. So the ayat al-Karima that we recited, Allah Ta'ala says that I have not created jinn and ins, insan, jinnat, the jinn kind and human kind. I haven't created them except for my worship. And the Fasireen, they have explained that liya'budun here, what it actually means is ay liya'rifuna, that they must recognize who I am. Allah Ta'ala has put us here in the world to recognize who our Allah is. That's our duty here on in this world. That all the time, I must be in the remembrance of the being who created me. And I must live my life for Him. Our Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, he always mentions this, that when you tread this path to attain the love for Allah Ta'ala, then I don't have any desires anymore. I don't have any wishes anymore. My desire is His desire. My wish is His wish. What He wishes, what He desires, what He wants, my Allah, that's what I will do. When we are going to live our life in this manner, then Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us that when we are departing from the world also, we will recognize who our Allah is. At that time, when we may not be in the best frame of mind, Shaitan is making his final, most brutal assault on us. Because our hearts throughout our life, these hearts were connected with Allah Ta'ala. So that time also it will be Allah. La ilaha illallah. When we will hear people making talqeen, that is what will be familiar to us. Because our whole life we are making zikrullah, we're taking Allah's name. When we hear people making talqeen, that is what will come to us. But if we live our life, you know, not thinking of Allah Ta'ala, then it mustn't happen that at that time when it matters most, when everything else comes to our mind, besides Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, every other worry, every other thing, every other attraction, everything else comes to our mind besides Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So this life is supposed to be led in preparation for that moment. The moment of death. To understand this life, it may not be the most apt example, but it's something that we relate to because we grow up in this society. You take a person who is going to take part in some sporting event. So that sporting event, whether it's going to be a race, whether it's going to be a match, whether it's going to be whatever, It may just be for an hour, or it may be for a couple of minutes. If it's a race, it's a sprint, it's a couple of minutes. If it's a marathon, it may be an hour or whatever. But his prep for that is months and months and months. He's preparing for it. Whatever prep he puts into it, there was a youngster in Johannesburg, so he was held up, whether kidnap him or whether hijack him or whatever, Allah knows best. So he was approached by these robbers or hijackers or kidnappers, and there were three of them. He was one person, but with Allah's help, he managed to dispatch all three of them to
Jannah.
So now, we say, and it is true about this particular youngster, you see this fellow, he knows his fire. He trains. He goes for combat training. He goes for tactical training. So, when a situation arose, now is the test. All the training, so many years of training, so many rounds firing off. Now, the moment of truth came. So now he performed well. So like that, this whole life is a training. This whole life, this fight with us and shaitan, this tug of war between us and shaitan, it continues whole life. And the main match is at the time of our death. And how we're going to perform at that time will depend on the training throughout our life. The training throughout our life. My whole life, did I just keep giving in to this devil? Then it mustn't happen at that time also. I give in to him. But my whole life I challenged him. I fought him. I didn't give in. I kept on asking Allah Ta'ala for help. Then at that time I will do the same thing. I will fight him and my gaze will be on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and I will be begging Allah Ta'ala for help. So, you heard the name Maulana Yunus Patel Rahimahullah, we spoke about him before the Maghrib Salah, and Maulana must be mentioning him every now and again. Now his Shaykh, Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali Shaykh, was Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Rahimahullah. So he was from Pakistan, from Karachi. And he is also late, Allah Ta'ala put his cover with Noor. But one speciality he had was composing poetry. And his poetry compositions was not something that he had to sit and think about. He didn't have to sit down and make this thing rhyme and whatever. It was like inspiration. He would be sitting, maybe making ibadat or doing something, and all of a sudden, he would just think of these lines of poetry. And he would write it down. Or he would say it and somebody would write it down. So there's so many of his poems. And many of these poems, they are actually like a whole bayan, like a talk, a nasiha, like an advice. So, I don't know, it's just from yesterday when I was thinking about this program, or day before yesterday, so I was thinking of this poetry here, and I said, we will read a few lines of this poetry. And most of us don't know Urdu here, so we will translate it and give a little bit of an explanation. I don't know. What's our Ishan?
Open.
Morana says open. Everybody is not smiling about it. Normally what time is Ishan?
22.
22 9.
22 quarter.
Gee, so this particular poetry here is in keeping with the theme of our discussion from before Maghrib and now, that we need to build this relationship with Allah Ta'ala. This relationship with Allah Ta'ala, sometimes, you know, our relationship with Allah Ta'ala is like abstract. If we have to take a relationship that a person has with a beloved, a person loves his wife. We're not talking about after 5 years. We're talking about the time he got married. So a person loves his wife. So that intense love, that feeling that he gets in the early days of his marriage, that is the feeling Sahaba had when they were on the battlefield. That was the feeling they had when they opened the Quran Sharif. That was the feeling they had when they read Salah. Now imagine the love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Allah Ta'ala. That he stands in Salah, at age 60 plus, he's standing in Salah. You know, the other day, after many moons, I got back onto a horse and I rode for about half an hour. Came back, and then you realize there's certain muscles in your body that you forgot about. Those muscles start phoning you, saying, "No, I'm alive." And I just took a trot, very light trot, not even running or galloping or anything, just a light trot. And after that, I'm thinking to myself that if we look at all the wars that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part in, these wars took place after the age of 53. War is not a trot. War is not a trot. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that age is galloping in jihad. It's only the love of Allah Ta'ala that can make you do that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after 60, he is standing not for fard salah, for nafal, tahajjud, salatul layl. He is standing for so long that his feet begin swelling. Right? Now, if we're reading salah, forget reading salah here. If we are gone to Haram, Makkah Mukarram, and we're looking at the Kaaba in front of us, there too we get tired. We may be able to do more than what we can do here, but after a while, we get tired. We get tired, we say, alright, Allah Pakhan say we have to stand so long now. Can't take it easy. One sunnah is also to drink zamzam. Let's go and do that one. But imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after 60, he's standing for nafal salah. And he's standing so long that his feet are swelling, his mubarak feet are swelling. What gave him the ability to stand so long? Ask that youngster who's in an illicit relationship. and he's busy texting at night. It's gone midnight, it's gone 1 o'clock, it's gone 2 o'clock, she's texting, he's texting. There's no tiredness. That's the power of love, but unfortunately in the wrong place. The Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is texting. He's talking to Allah Ta'ala, he's reading Quran, he's in Salah. He's talking to Allah Ta'ala. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read in one rakat. In one rakat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read almost 5.5 juz. One tarawih Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started, he finished, there was hardly any time to have said. What makes a person do? It can only be love. A burning love. Not the abstract love that we have. A burning love, a true love. A love that is alive. Where you feel it. You feel it, that love. Allah Ta'ala must bless us. Now bless us. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his love, Ambiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Sahaba radiyallahu, everything that they went through, they could endure. And today we see the people in Gaza, what they went through, but still hasbunallah, hasbunallah. This is love, love for Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to develop this love. Allah bless us with this love. We must ask Allah for His love. Just as we ask Allah Ta'ala to allow us to pass the examination. They say when it's towards the end of the year, if you got any, you know, real dua that you want, tell the matriculants to make it. Because they're very sincere at that time. They're making dua at that time, very sincerely. Ask them to make the dua. Right? So when we got some issue, SARS came and asked for the books. Now ask that man how he's making dua. So we must make dua like that for Allah's love. And this asking Allah for His love, this dua is taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us words. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. O Allah, I beg of you for your love. So we must ask Allah for His love. Because only He can give it. Only He can give it. Just as we want food, we want clothes. We need Allah's love. To love Allah Ta'ala is fard. To love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is fard. So Hazrat Shah Aki Mukhtar Sahib Rahmatullah, he composed this poetry. We will try to read it tonight from your own. Worry about the voice and the tune and all that. That's not what's important. The important thing is the message. The message, the words. Isi tarah se mumkin teri raah se guzarna hai, isi tarah se mumkin teri raah se guzarna, kabhi dil pe sabr karna, kabhi dil se shukr karna. He says that this road of life, it is only possible to walk this road of life if at times with our heart we have to make sabr, and at other times with our heart we have to make shukr. In our life, we will go through either conditions that we regard to be favorable, or conditions that we regard to be unfavorable. Allah Ta'ala, whatever He does is favoring. But sometimes, in our understanding, we regard something to be unfavorable, something to be favoring. So, whenever we are going through a situation that we feel is unfavorable, we must make sabr. Now a person asks, how much sabr? Sometimes when a person is going through a problem, say, but how much sabr? So, only Allah Ta'ala knows how much sabr we can get. Sometimes we underestimate ourselves. That's why we start losing hope. We underestimate ourselves. You know, if you've got a good 4x4, you know, and you've got a driver who knows how to handle it. Now that person tells you, we're going up this path, which, you know, can never be. We can never be wrong. You know, we can't, I'm jumping off. We can't do this. We're going to bugger this motor car. Relax. You don't know what this thing can do. You don't know what it can do. Show you what it can do. So like that, sometimes we underestimate what Allah created. If Allah Ta'ala is putting us through a difficulty, Allah knows how much we can endure. He'll never put on us more than what we can endure. We must always ask for ease. We must ask for well-being. We mustn't ask for tests. Ask for ease and well-being. But if Allah is testing us, that's the promise of Allah, He is going to test us. If He is testing us, then we can manage that test. We must never think we can't manage that test. Because one thing Allah never does, never commits oppression. Allah never ever commits oppression. So if Allah has to put on a person more than what that person can bear, that's oppression. Allah will never put on a person more than what a person can. So when we're going through a difficulty, we make sabr. When we're going through good times, we don't ever say, hey, but how much shukar Allah? So when we're going through good times, we make shukar. So what is shukar? Shukar is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is verbally, but the other is physically. If Allah Ta'ala gave me a pair of shoes, so one is I like the shoe. Allah Ta'ala gave me the shoe, I like the shoe, I say, hey, shukar. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me a shoe. But now I take the shoe and I walk to the masjid. Now I'm making shukar. But I take the shoe, these youngsters don't even know how to bone the shoe. In the old days, you shined your shoe. That shoe, you put it in the sun. You put a polish, you put it in the sun. Then you brought it back in and you polished it. Today, you fellows wear all these funny shoes. You can't even polish the shoe. So, but now if a person got that shoe and he really polished it up, and he said, right, now I'm going to show my girlfriend how handsome I look. Is that shukar? When he got the shoe, he said, shukar, Allah gave me the shoe, but now he's wearing the shoe to go show his girlfriend, to impress his girlfriend. Now is that shukar? Now he's using it for haram. Allah Ta'ala gave a person a motor car. Alhamdulillah, he thanks Allah Ta'ala. And now he uses that car. His mother needs to go somewhere, he takes his mother. There's a janaza somewhere, he goes. Somebody is sick, he goes to visit there. Goes to visit some family member to maintain family ties. So now he's using it for good works. He's showing, he's making shukar to Allah Ta'ala. But now he's taking the car, puts his couple of friends inside there, puts the music on, doing some drugs. Oh, this is haram. Now how can that be shukar? He can have one dua there stuck on the kabi also. No shukar. There's no shukr. Understand? So shukr has to be with our actions. You know, in English they say, actions speak louder than words. So it applies here. The actions must be right. ये तेरी रजा में जीना, ये तेरी रजा में मरना, मेरी अब्दियत पे या रब, ये है तेरा फजल करना। यही आशिकों का शेवा, यही आशिकों की आदत, कभी गिर या बुका है, कभी आहे सर्द बरना। So he says, ये तेरी रजा में जीना, O Allah, I must live in your pleasure. If only I can understand this, you can understand this. Life is not about my pleasure. It's not about what makes me happy. Life in this world is about what makes Allah happy. You see, if we live our life in this world making Allah happy, we sacrifice our feelings, our desires for the commands of Allah Ta'ala, for the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then when we leave this world, Allah Ta'ala will do everything to make us happy. So much so that after Allah Ta'ala making all the arrangements for our happiness, He will still ask us, you know, my slave, anything more I can do? Who will ask us? Allah Ta'ala. Not me. If I ask you, you eat, you show you okay. If you tell me you're not okay, what am I? What am I? The food is finished in the pot, what can I do? So you're not talking about me. We're talking about Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala who has all the resources. Allah Ta'ala who has all the power. Allah Ta'ala who can... Allah Ta'ala says, if every human, every jinn, has to make every request that they want, and if I have to fulfill everyone's request, each and everything that they want, it will not decrease the treasures of Allah Ta'ala by an iota.
SubhanAllah.
This is Allah. So that Allah Ta'ala, when He is designing a place for us, when every Ramadan Allah Ta'ala is decorating and designing and making the place more beautiful. And Allah Ta'ala is waiting that this is my masterpiece for my masterpiece creation. How Allah, a mother prepares a meal and she's waiting for her son to come from varsity. He's from Johannesburg and he's studying in Cape Town. He's from Durban and he's studying in Cape Town. Or he's from Cape Town and he's studying in the Ulum. And now he's coming home. The mother is prepared. She's waiting for her son to come. She wants her son to come and eat that meal. She prepared it. It's his favorite. When Allah Ta'ala has prepared Jannah, Allah wants us to enjoy ourselves. Allah didn't give us the world to enjoy ourselves. This world is too cheap. It's too cheap for one who has Allah in his heart. It's too cheap for one who puts his forehead in front of Allah on the ground. This is not the place Allah gave us for our enjoyment. This is not our playground. It's too small. The resources are too limited. When Allah Ta'ala wants us to enjoy, then Allah is going to give us Jannah. And Allah will still ask us there also, anything more you want. You know, we will be blown away when we see Jannah. When we see Jannat, we'll be blown away because our minds cannot even imagine what that place is. We'll be totally blown away. When Allah Ta'ala will ask us, is there anything more I can do for you? The servants of Allah Ta'ala will say, Ya Allah, you have saved us from Azab in Jahannam. You have put us into Jannah out of your mercy. Is there anything else we can ask for? Can there be anything more than this now? So two things will happen, different riwayat. One riwayat, Allah Ta'ala will say, you know my servants, now I confer my happiness
on you.
Never be upset with you. Now I confer my happiness. Another riwayat says, Allah Ta'ala will then remove the veils. Allah Ta'ala will remove the veils between his servants and him. And now the servants of Allah Ta'ala will be able to see Allah Ta'ala. The request that Musa alayhi salam made, and he couldn't see Allah Ta'ala in this world. That desire that every servant has in his heart to be able to see Allah Ta'ala, now you will be able to see Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will make such means that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba that when you look at the 14th full moon, everybody is looking at the 14th full moon, is there any crowding? Is anybody trying to look over somebody else's head to see it? Everyone sees it with ease. Like that. Every person will be able to see Allah Ta'ala in all His glory, His majesty. A person will be able to see Allah Ta'ala. And that will be the greatest ni'mat, the greatest gift in Jannah. So this relationship with Allah Ta'ala is not something abstract. So this is what Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says here, that Ya teri raza mein jeena, I must live my life in your happiness. Ya teri raza mein marna, I must die like this. This must be my servitude to my Allah. I must realize I'm a slave, I'm a servant. I'm serving all the time. My time to enjoy will come later. And then he says, this is the way of the lovers of Allah Ta'ala. This is the habit of the lovers of Allah Ta'ala. But what happens to them? They are crying in front of Allah. They are crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are shedding tears in front of Allah. The sighs are coming out from their heart. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to make dua to Allah Ta'ala, when he used to be talking to Allah Ta'ala in tahajjud, dua, etc. Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhunna ajma'in, they say it used to sound like a boiling pot. How when water is boiling, like that. That sound used to come out of his chest. So the time is running out here. But how to get this love? This love of Allah Ta'ala. So, Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says,
Mujhe kuch khabar nahi thi, tera dard kya hai ya Rab? Mujhe kuch khabar nahi thi, tera dard kya
understanding, no knowledge of what this pain of your love is. The word used for love is dard, dard-e muhabbat. You know, you ask a person who's separated from a beloved, they talk about the pain of love. He says, this dard-e muhabbat, I didn't know what it is. I didn't know it's something that exists. But it's something that I have learned from the lovers of Allah. Those who love Allah Ta'ala, I learned from them that there is such a thing as loving Allah. Loving Allah to such an extent that every part of my body yearns for Allah Ta'ala. At all times, I'm yearning for Allah Ta'ala. I've got that pain. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the angel of death came to him, every Nabi is given a choice. It's unlike us. When our time is up, the angel of death comes to take us. But the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, the angel of death comes and asks permission. You ready to go? Or so Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, she was cradling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her lap. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam breathed his last, so she heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Ila al-Rafiq al-A'la. So she says that at that moment, I knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his choice. He's going to go. The angel of death has asked him and he has made the choice that I want to go to my friend Most High. Our Sheikh Mu'iz Fateh Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. So obviously when you are benefiting from someone, you want them to live long. So you can continue benefiting. So he's always made dua for him. Allah Ta'ala bless you with a long life. So he used to always say, with afiyah, with well-being, not just a long life. Long life, what are you going to do with a long life if there's no well-being? So he used to always say, with well-being. But when he reached the age of 63, and people used to make dua for him for long life, he used to say, don't make it. He was ready to meet his Allah. Once in Madina Munawwara, there was one brother there who used to also attend the programs in Durban. And now, Maulana used to always make dua to pass away, you know, in Madina Munawwara. And everybody used to cry and make dua and say, Ameen. Who doesn't want to pass away in Madina Munawwara? So now they were in Madina Munawwara. And Maulana called that person. They see, here. Let's make dua. Allah Ta'ala take us now. So that person told Maulana, not this guy. See, another trick. Still got a couple of things to sort out. But he was ready to go. But Allah Ta'ala kept him for another 2 more years and he passed away at about age 65. So, one person, pious person, he went to his friend's shop. His friend is only worried about business. He went to his shop. So he's telling him, you're so engrossed in this world, how are you going to die? What's going to be your condition? What type of death are you going to have? You're so caught up and engrossed. So that person told him, he said, well, how are you going to die? You know, Bhima, you can't keep quiet. I will give you another answer. So he asked this pious person, how are you going to die? So he said, how I'm going to die? He lay down, he read Kalima, and he passed away. Oh, so that's how. He showed you, and he passed through his one. Now let me ask myself, let you ask yourself, are we ready to go now? Can we go? Are we ready to go and face our Allah now? So let us put our our things right, develop this deep-hearted love for Allah Ta'ala. Deep-hearted love for Allah Ta'ala. Beg Allah for His love. Take His name. Be obedient to Him. And He gives it. I am waiting. I'm sure you are waiting also. Allah Ta'ala bless us with this love.
Amen.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وخطيئة اللهم ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا كريم يا غفور رحيم يا رؤوف رحيم يا أرحم الراحمين يا راحم المساكين يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام والعزة التي لا ترام نسألك يا الله يا رحمن بجلالك ونور وجهك أو الله أو most beloved Allah kind Allah loving Allah forgiving Allah tolerant Allah caring Allah Oh our Allah who loves to forgive Oh our Allah who becomes pleased when His servants turn to Him for forgiveness Oh Allah we are Your sinful slaves O Allah We have committed many, many sins, O Allah. We have led a life of disobedience, O Allah. We have led a life of heedlessness, O Allah. But, O Allah, we are turning to You. We are ashamed of our past lives, O Allah. Ya Allah, we are not justifying any sin. We are confessing each and every sin in Your court. We are guilty on each count, O Allah. Ya Allah, we used Your bounties for Your disobedience, O Allah. You blessed us with sight. You blessed us with intellect. You blessed us with the power of hearing, with the power of speech. You blessed us with our hands, with our feet, with our hearts. Ya Allah, everything we used in Your disobedience, O Allah. You blessed us with wealth we used in Your disobedience, O Allah. Ya Allah, but we are turning to You. We are ashamed, O Allah. Ya Allah, You forgive us, O Allah. You forgive us, O Allah. Forgive each and every sin that we have committed, O Allah. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. The sins that we committed openly or discreetly, O Allah. Sins that we committed in the brightness of day or the darkness of night, O Allah. Sins that we committed intentionally or unintentionally, O Allah. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, O Allah. Ya Allah, those sins that we are committing repeatedly, O Allah. Despite knowing what we're doing is wrong, O Allah. We are weak, O Allah. Ya Allah, You forgive us, O Allah. You take us out of this life of sin, O Allah. Ya Allah, put us on a life of obedience, O Allah. Take us out of the darkness of sin. Put us in the noor of Your obedience, O Allah. Put us on Sirat-e-Mustaqim, O Allah. Make us sincere slaves, O Allah. Ya Allah, what life is gone. We cannot bring back a single moment, O Allah. Ya Allah, but from this second onwards, O Allah, let it be a turning point in our lives, O Allah. Take a decision for our hidayat, O Allah. Fill our hearts with Your noor, O Allah. With Your marifat, O Allah. Make us Yours and You become ours, O Allah. Bless us with Your love, O Allah. Let Your love permeate
every drop of blood in our bodies, O Allah. Let our blood, Ya Allah, flow with your love, O Allah. Let your love be flowing in our veins, O Allah. Put your noor in our eyes, in our ears, on our tongue, in our hearts. Let our hearts beat with Allah, 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 Allah. Make us yours, O Allah. It will become ours, O Allah. Ya Allah, make us the followers of the Sharia. Make us the followers of the Sunnah, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, O Allah. Forgive our parents, O Allah. Ya Allah, those of our parents that have passed on, O Allah, make their maghfirat, O Allah. Let their kubur be gardens from amongst the gardens of Jannah, O Allah. You be pleased with them, O Allah. Whatever broken deeds we do, let it be a means of isar-e sawab for them. Ya Allah, forgive all our asatiza, all our teachers, O Allah. Our mashayikh, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our spouses, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our children, O Allah. Forgive our family members, O Allah. Forgive our friends, O Allah. Forgive those whose haq is upon us. Those whose ihsan is upon us. Those who asked us to make dua for them, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah for our beloved Rasulullah Pahak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us all with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat, O Allah. Bless us with hidayat, O Allah. Make us a means of hidayat for others, O Allah. Ya Allah, utilize us for your deen, O Allah. Utilize us for your deen, O Allah. Your deen is not in need of us. You are not in need of us. Ya Allah, we are unworthy servants, O Allah. But we beg of you, Ya Allah. You use us for your deen, O Allah, with ikhlas, with kubuliyat, O Allah. Ya Allah, come to the aid and the assistance of the Muslim Ummah, O Allah. Around the globe, O Allah. Ya Allah, especially in Gaza, O Allah. In Sudan, O Allah. In Sham, O Allah. Ya Allah, you hold back the hand of the Zalim, O Allah. Amen. The Zalim, you hold. Zionist, O Allah. Hold back their Zulam, O Allah. Hold back their Zulam, O Allah. Ya Allah, you stop their Zulam, O Allah. Ya Allah, come to the aid and the assistance of the Ummah, O Allah. Ya Allah, assist the Mujahideen, O Allah. Assist the Mujahideen, O Allah. Make it easy for the orphan children, O Allah. Make it easy for the woman folk, O Allah. Make it easy for the elderly, O Allah. Give every able-bodied person the spirit of jihad, O Allah. Ya Allah, let them fight the enemy, O Allah. Ya Allah, put the power of bombs in the stones that they throw, O Allah. Ya Allah, protect them from the onslaught of the kuffar, O Allah. Ya Allah, those that have passed away, grant them high ranks of jihad, O Allah. Those that are living, Ya Allah, make it easy for them, O Allah. Ya Allah, the bombs that these kuffar are raining upon them, let these bombs fall on their own heads, O Allah. Ya Allah, ground their ships, O Allah. Let their weapons malfunction and misfire, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you destroy them like you destroyed the Ahad and the Thamud, O Allah. Ya Allah, it is not difficult for you, O Allah. You are the same Allah that was there in Badr, O Allah. You are the same Allah that was there in Khandaq, O Allah. You are the same Allah that was there in Uhud, O Allah. In Fatih Makkah, O Allah. Ya Allah, you come to the aid and the assistance of the Ummah, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us the strength to fight off nafs and shaitan. Ya Allah, you know the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations that each one may be undergoing. Assist and help each and every one of us in our difficulties. You know the permissible wishes within the hearts of each and every one. You fulfill each and every one's jais, permissible wishes, O Allah. Those that are sick and ailing, grant them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamira, daima. Ya Allah, those whose wives are in the family way, make it easy for them. Bless them with healthy, pious children, O Allah. Those that don't have children, grant them nek, pious children, O Allah. Those that are seeking marriage partners, grant them, Ya Allah, compatible, pious marriage partners, O Allah. Give us barakat in our rizq, O Allah. Ya Allah, those that don't have jobs, grant them jobs, O Allah. Those that are studying, let them be successful, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you put barakat in our homes, barakat in our time, barakat in our rizq, O Allah. Ya Allah, make us all yours, you become ours, O Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, one day we will have to depart from this world, O Allah. Ya Allah, when the time of our departure comes, O Allah, let it be at a time when you are most pleased with us. In an action that is most pleasing to you, O Allah. Keep us with iman. Take us with iman. Resurrect us with iman. Ya Allah. Ya all your young bandas here, O Allah. Students, young people. Ya Allah, one of the people that will be under the shade of your arsh will be those who spend their youth in your path, in your obedience. Ya Allah, through their barakat, you make our maqfirat. Ya Allah, they are elderly people, through their barakat, you make our maqfirat. They are students of deen, O Allah, through their barakat, make our maqfirat. They are those that are musafir, O Allah, through their barakat, make our maqfirat. Ya Allah, bless each and every one of us with your happiness. Bless us with Jannat al-Firdaus. Ya Allah, grant our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maqam al-wasila, maqam al-mahmood, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the Tabi'een, the Tab'ud Tabi'een, all those who were instrumental in deen reaching us, grant them high stages in Jannat al-Firdaus. Ya Allah, when we are lowered into our kubur, let our kubur be gardens from amongst the gardens of Jannah. Ya Allah, when we are raised on the day of Hashr, let our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give us a drink from Hawza Kawthar. Let our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercede on our behalf. Let us be seated in the shade of your arsh. Let us receive our book of deeds in our right hand. Let us cross the sirat with the speed of lightning and grant us entry into Jannat al-Firdaus without any reckoning. And above all, O Allah, grant us your ru'ya in Jannah. Grant us your ru'ya in Jannah. Ya Allah, accept our humble little dua. Amen. Accept this musalla, accept this madrasa. Amen. Accept the efforts of Maulana Musa. Amen. Accept the efforts of the musallis and Amen. All those that are involved, the muazzin, the sheikh. Ya Allah, take it from strength to strength. Amen. Let the madrasa be established, the classes be established, Amen. Let it be of benefit for us and the entire ummah of Allah. Amen. Let it be a means of hidayah for us and the entire ummah of Allah. Ya Allah, whatever we have asked for, grant it to us. Amen. Whatever we have forgotten to ask, grant it to us. Amen. Whatever is best for us, O Allah, grant it to us. Amen. Ya Allah, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made so much of good du'as, O Allah. All the good du'as that he made, that it be on our behalf, on our behalf of the entire ummah. Whatever our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought refuge from, O Allah, grant us and the entire ummah refuge from it. Amen. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء ونسألك برد العيش بعد الموت ونسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Allahu Akbar.